In modern-day Jerusalem, you can see the pool of Bethesda, or what remains of it at least, just as described in our gospel passage. The ruins of a pool with five porticos lie a stone's throw away from St. Anne's Church. And inside the Church of St. Anne, tour groups wander in and out. Even the weakest singers, such as yours truly, manage to sound good inside that church. It has great acoustics. That is one of the main draws for tourists and pilgrims alike. And yet, what I remember best, what I remember most clearly from my visit to St. Anne's, was not the beautiful singing inside the church, but the ruckus outside its walls. As I wandered around the ruins of Bethesda, I stumbled upon a group of pilgrims, the charismatic type, hands raised toward the heavens, some mumbling, some talking, some singing, all in a language I did not understand. They were all praying, I assumed, all praying for healing. 2,000 years later, and pilgrims still gather at this pool, hoping for healing. I wonder how that man felt. I bet 38 years feels a little like 2,000 if you have been waiting to get well for that long. John doesn't record his name, but we do get to follow him for some time in chapter 5 of his gospel. And what we find out beyond the scope of our passage for today actually isn't all that pleasant. It turns out that this particular recipient of Jesus' healing power doesn't react in the way you'd expect. Maybe it's the way that Jesus' healings are dramatized on the big screen, but I've come to assume that people reacted with gratitude to this kind of thing, that people who encountered Jesus in a healing scene recognized the gift for what it was, a miracle, and that they recognized the person giving it to them for who he was, for what he'd done. John's gospel, however, reports nothing of the sort about this man. After being told to take up his mat and walk, the man steps away without a word. Later, when he encounters Jewish leaders who are upset by his lack of Sabbath observance, the man can't tell them the name of the one who healed him. It seems as though he forgot to ask. And when he happens to run into Jesus again, the man immediately runs right back to the Jewish leaders and tells on him, sells him out to the religious authorities. Of all the healings in the Gospels, this is perplexing, to say the least. Crowds left everything behind to follow after Jesus. Roman centurions bowed before him. Tax collectors climbed trees just to get a better look at him. And yet this man who was given something so precious as to be considered priceless, this man whom Jesus healed, sells him out the first chance he gets. This man may not have been the least deserving of Jesus' healing, but he comes across as perhaps a bit ungrateful. Bob Lupton, a writer and minister for decades in Atlanta, once wrote about what it looks like to meet the deserving poor. He spent some time in one of his books called Theirs is the Kingdom, describing what the deserving poor look like. A widow, over 65 preferably, living alone and without family, a truly worthy young man, unemployed and out of school, but doing his very best to get by, a truly worthy working family, devout and close-knit, with a mother and father who barely scrape by on minimum wage jobs everywhere they can. The problem, Lupton states, is that truly worthy poor people are hard to find. Someone on my staff thought he remembered seeing one back in 1976, but he can't remember for sure. Someone else reminded me that maybe to be truly poor means to be impatient, to be manipulative and desperate at times, grasping at every straw. But truly worthy poor people are any of us truly worthy? Friends, when we hear Jesus say, "Blessed are the poor," Jesus didn't only mean those who look like they deserve it. And if this man in the gospel is any evidence, Jesus might well mean those who don't look like they deserve it, the poor who aren't grateful, the ones who are desperate and impatient, the ones who disturb and discomfort. The point of today's gospel, however, isn't to comment on the intentions of the one who was healed. What we see and hear today, my friends, is the attitude and actions of the one who heals. And this Jesus, this wonder-working preacher from a backwater town in Galilee, this Jesus has chosen to heal, not because you and I are worthy of it, but because he is good. This Jesus has chosen to renew us, not because you and I have earned it, but because the one who is faithful will remain true to himself, even if we don't. And if this preacher will go to the ones least deserving, then that is where we are called to. Not simply because we have much to give, but because in our own worst moment, God has also done the same thing for each one of us. As communion is served at this service, there is always a priest present in the back, in that back corner there, ready to offer healing prayers to anyone who would seek it. So come as you are, my friends. Come if you are desperate. Come if you are at the end of your rope. Come even if you are ungrateful. God offers his presence, not to the worthy, but to God's beloved. And the good news, my friends, is that in him, every creature is beloved. So let us step out of these doors today to treat others just as we have been treated, to love just as we have been loved. Amen.